Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
I doubt very much that I've ever been present at an election with that many votes cast coming out exactly two-thirds. Quite stunning. Ideally, you would like to have it passed by a larger margin. But I recognize that the fears that we had in the task force when we were writing it, that there would be a tendency to over-focus on the neuralgic issue, would take place, and I think you could see by the floor debate that is exactly what happened. Nevertheless, I'm very happy that it passed. We took some risks in the writing of it, taking some approaches that were a bit different that we thought were appropriate for our times.
That's Bishop Peter Strauman, chairman of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's Task Force on Human Sexuality, announcing a decision made yesterday by the Churchwide Assembly of the ELCA with regard to human sexuality. We find out exactly what they decided to do yesterday and what they appear poised to decide to do either today or tomorrow. Of course, this is making headlines all over the country. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the largest Lutheran church body in the United States, meeting in assembly, and finally, after what probably the better part of a decade, aiming toward this, hinting at it, angling toward it, tacking toward it, finally a decision as to whether or not they're going to lift their ban on ordaining openly gay and lesbian clergy. Joining us for our conversation on this Thursday afternoon, August the 20th, Dr. Robert Benny. He's director of the Center for Religion and Society based in Roanoke, Virginia, a delegate to the ELCA Churchwide Assembly, and he's joining us live from Minneapolis. Dr. Benny, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
What exactly did the ELCA decide to do in assembly yesterday?
Well, it made a decision, as you just noted, at a hairbreadth win for the sexuality statement, the social statement on sexuality. And there were a bunch of things in the statement, but what was really the focus was on whether homosexual conduct under any conditions could be God-pleasing or morally legitimate. And in the statement, it more or less says, we don't have any consensus on this. There aren't any compelling arguments. We don't have a teaching. And so that's what was inflammatory. And most people thought, a third of us thought that it should be defeated because it is departing from the historic consensus on homosexual conduct and by saying we have no teachings. So that was the neuralgic point that Bishop Strauman talked about. And you should know, I'm sure everybody knows by now, that about the time we were deciding this, a tornado hit the conference center, and it knocked the cross off the roof of Central Lutheran Church across the street. And they won by the percentage of 66.6. So a lot of symbolic things were going on while we departed from the historic Christian moral consensus.
Let me get this right, because this sounds to me like kind of after all the hoopla, all the pushing, decades of work and aiming toward this thing, it sounds like kind of the old, at least this social statement, sounds like the ultimate cop-out, not to say that it's right, not to say that it's wrong, just to say we don't know what to say about homosexual behavior. Am I reading the social statement correctly?
Well, it's kind of describing where the church is, but that's not normative teaching. And if you can't decide, if there's no compelling grounds, biblical or confessional, to overturn the prior teaching, you should stick with the prior teaching. So while they said we can't decide, they went ahead and made all sorts of recommendations that will be discussed tomorrow that have decided that the church can bless gay unions, that the church can have ordained gay and lesbian clergy in partnered relationships. So, in effect, they're changing the doctrine by the practices that we're going to vote on, which will no doubt pass. So on the surface, they say there's no teaching, but by their practices, they say there is a new teaching that is acceptable. So it's a major, grave, grave departure from Catholic small c teaching in the West and the ecumenical church throughout the ages. So it is a very serious matter.
You spoke about this statement. What did you have to say?
Well, I said, first of all, we shouldn't be voting on the binding teaching of the church. How can you democratically vote on what the church holds? And it's doubly problematic that you should vote on what the church has held throughout the ages without compelling biblical and confessional reasons for doing so. So I pled with them not to even vote on it, but if you're going to vote on it, vote it down so that there's no rupture in the church's teaching. But we lost by one vote.
Okay, let's talk about the narrowness of that margin. It was calling for a two-thirds margin. I mean, there was actually, if it hadn't been a two-thirds requirement, this is actually a pretty sizable majority of the assembly that voted for this thing. But since two-thirds was required, what does the slimness of the margin say to you, if anything at all, Dr. Benny?
Well, first, it was very depressing because nine people missed the vote, and it could have swung either way. But to tell you the truth, many of us want clarity, clean decisions in the ELCA so that we can respond to it with additional clarity. And in one sense, this will bring clarity because it'll be a clean sweep of the revisionist agenda will win all the way across the board, I believe. With two-thirds of the vote on a highly contentious statement, I think they'll be able to get a more majority vote on the ministerial recommendations, the recommendations that will come up tomorrow.
Let's talk a little bit about those recommendations. Of all of the things that they will be asked to decide, the delegates to this churchwide assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, what is the most significant thing by way of, you said before, by way of kind of altering the church's approved practices? What is the most significant?
Well, actually, it's already happened with the disruption of the historic teaching of the church by the adopting the social statement. Now, the next step was to allow for congregations to bless gay unions, those congregations that wish to do so. So, in effect, the ELCA no longer disapproves of gay marriage. So the doctrine has changed, the practice has changed, and whatever congregations will want to can do that. The second thing is there will be gays and lesbians in partnered situations who will be accepted into the roster of the ELCA, and no congregation will be forced to accept them, but congregations that do want them can certainly have them. So, and then the third one is a crazy notion called respecting each other's bound conscience, kind of a gloss on Luther that we think is pretty bogus.
I got to ask about that one because the language there is so slippery. This notion of a bound conscience is kind of like the new, am I reading it correctly? Because I don't think it's wrong, you can't tell me it's wrong, and you can't impose any rules upon me about its wrongness because I am conscience bound, as was Luther.
Right. It's an argument from sincerity. If you hold something with sincerity, you must be respected. So it's no longer the conscience bound to the Word of God. It's holding differing opinions about the Word of God with sincerity. So the people who developed this notion, particularly Tim Wingert from Philadelphia Seminary, were pressed very hard on, are there any limits to this? And he really had a hard time talking about limits. So it's kind of a rationale for theological and moral relativism. If you claim you have a bound conscience, it would be hard to deal with somebody or discipline them if as wide as it could possibly be. But the other bogus thing about the bound conscience is that at what I call the commanding heights of the church headquarters, and the seminaries and the colleges, except for a few, one could no longer get a job, or one would become a pariah if one articulated traditional opinions strongly. So there is no respect for a bound conscience if you're a traditionalist at those levels of the church life. At the congregational level, it's quite different, but at those commanding heights, there's no respect for the traditionalist conscience.
We have only about 15 seconds,
sure.
Dr. Benny. Again, what do you expect to happen tomorrow?
A clean sweep. I think all four of the recommendations will go through, and then we'll have to decide where to go from there.
Dr. Robert Benny is director of the Center for Religion and Society based in Roanoke, Virginia. He's a delegate to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's Churchwide Assembly meeting in Minneapolis. He joined us live from Minneapolis. Thank you so much, and please keep up the good work. I know that it's very difficult, but keep up the good work.
Pray for us.
We certainly will. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Mark Galley of Christianity Today magazine about the meaning of scandals in the church. He says they're a symptom of something, and the church needs to stop flopping about trying to find solutions here and solutions there. Maybe return to the notion that Christians are at the same time both saints and sinners. A very old biblical, also a reformational idea. We'll talk with Mark Galley about that tomorrow on the program. Yes, indeed. Whenever the church gathers together on a Sunday morning, the church prays. It's called the prayer of the church. We pray for government. We pray for those who defend us. We pray for the sick. And we pray for the church. The way I say it is this. It's just my own little version of the prayer for the church. O Lord, defend your church from enemies within and without. Give to your church faithful pastors and people who faithfully receive the gifts of your grace. That's how I pray it on a Sunday morning when I'm standing at the altar. And I think it's an appropriate prayer. Because it would be too easy to simply write off the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and say, yet another declining liberal denomination on the way down the slippery slope. Now that's true. That is altogether true. But we must pray for them. We must pray for them for repentance and for faithfulness. They will need it. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.